Sometimes life can seem a little complicated, and it's difficult to decide what is the right thing to do when we come face to face with particularly unusual circumstances. Issues arise. We aren't quite sure what our response ought to be, but God has given us the promise that if we lack wisdom and we ask of Him, He will grant that wisdom without reproaching us. Not only do we have that promise in the Bible, we also have examples of how that wisdom is put into practice. We have examples of people acting wisely as they face difficult issues. And that's what we see in the letter that Paul wrote to Philemon. With godly wisdom, Paul counsels his friend how he should respond to the particular issue which is now facing him in life. The background is straightforward, and yet at the same time it is amazing. A young man called Onesimus was a slave in the home of Philemon. Onesimus was a resentful slave, obviously, and when the opportunity arose, he took the law into his own hands. He absconded from Paul's home and he headed for the capital city of Rome. A large city is a good place in which to hide. It's quite possible that this sort of thing was not unknown. Slaves did run away. But this story is far from ordinary, because in some way, when Onesimus reached Rome, he came into contact with the Apostle Paul. And Paul, of course, was friendly with Onesimus's owner, Philemon. What an unusual and remarkable event. Paul witnessed to Onesimus, and the young man was converted. It's rather like a young person from a Christian home growing up in a good congregation, finishing school and then deciding on a gap year and heading off to South America. And in South America, this young person meets a Christian who witnesses to him and he is converted. Miles and miles from home. God's grace is sovereign. Not only how He works, but when He works and where. And we see that so marvelously in the story of Onesimus. But now a new dimension has entered his life. By law, Onesimus still belongs to Philemon. But here he is in Rome. What is Paul to do? If he sends Onesimus back, will Philemon accept him? And it becomes more complicated because by this time there's a real bond developing between Paul and Onesimus, the spiritual father and his son. And as well as that, Onesimus is proving to be very useful to the aged apostle. He's helping him in very definite ways. It would be a great benefit to Paul if Onesimus remained in Rome. How is all of this to be unraveled? Sometimes life is complicated. But Paul is given godly wisdom. The right thing to do, from Paul's perspective, is to send Onesimus back. The right thing to do from Onesimus' perspective is to return to his owner, even though the consequences may be quite serious. And the right thing to do from Philemon's perspective is to take Onesimus back again. And so we have the letter. We want to consider this evening in particular how Paul sought to encourage Philemon to do the right thing. His words are full of tact and full of wisdom. One writer describes this as one of the special treasures of the New Testament. It's a personal letter, but the envelope is not marked for the attention of Philemon only. It's an open letter. Paul sometimes uses the first person, sometimes the first person singular, sometimes plural in the writing of this letter. It's for all of us to listen and to learn. Paul is asking Philemon to do something really difficult. Doing the right thing is not necessarily easy. Onesimus has been guilty of one of the most serious offences under ancient law. A slave who absconds from his master, and especially if he has stolen from his master, as it seems Onesimus has done, can expect a severe penalty. So how is Philemon to be encouraged to act in the way that Paul knows is right and receive Onesimus back again? And here this letter guides us, because we are called as followers of Christ to do the right thing, to live according to the will of God. We are committed to that. This church is no different to many, many others in what is required of those who come into membership. And like, I imagine, every Christian congregation, members make a promise. I promise, by the help of the Holy Spirit, that I will endeavor to live a life consistent with my profession. We renew that promise each time we come to the Lord's table. We are saying, I am committing my life to a life of obedience, to live according to the will of God, to follow Christ, of whom this is perfectly true. Obedience is pleasing to God, honoring to Him, and brings a blessing to the lives of His people. And for all of those reasons, Paul wants Philemon to do the right thing, to do God's will, to receive Onesimus back again. That obedience will commend the gospel there in the city of Colossae. People will look at Paul and look at Philemon, and they'll see how he deals with a runaway slave. And they will see that he deals with this runaway slave in a way totally different to the way the world would. When Philemon receives Onesimus back, it will be a powerful testimony to the gospel. Our obedience to God has that effect. Many years ago, I read a little poem. It went like this, and I like it, but I don't entirely agree with it. And I'll tell you why. It says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely show the way. The eye is a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Advice can be confusing, but examples always clear. So why do I not like it? Well, I don't think it's a case of either or, of rather hearing or seeing a sermon. But it's a case of both, isn't it? I want to hear a sermon. I also want to see it. I want to hear the truth. I want to see the truth exemplified. But allowing for that, there is a good point here, isn't there? Our lives are to be consistent with what we profess. That's basically what it's saying. So Paul is writing to Philemon to exhort him to do what is right and live according to God's will in this particular issue of receiving Onesimus back again. But as he writes, he is also confident, and he believes with all his heart that Philemon will do what he is exhorting him to do. Look at verse 21. confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. What a powerful statement that is. What a great thing to say about someone. Confident of your obedience. Philemon, I am convinced that you will be obedient to this direction. How many people are there we could say that about? But isn't that how people should be able to speak about a Christian? Trustworthy, consistent living. Why did Paul have such confidence in Philemon? Why was he persuaded that Philemon would do the right thing? That as he faced this issue, this difficult issue, he would act according to God's will. Why was Paul so confident? That's what we need to ask ourselves, because that's where the challenge comes. I worked on this passage during the week, and I prepared a sermon on it, and I wasn't terribly happy, and I decided to look up my file in my computer if there was anything else I'd ever done on Philemon, and after I'd the sermon typed out and printed, I looked up, and here there was another one that I'd done, I don't know how many years ago, and I liked it better. I thought that's a better way of handling the text or the passage. So I've married them this evening, and I trust that the marriage is a good one, because it is a marvelous book and it is a great lesson, and there are great things for us here. Why was Paul so confident that Philemon would do the right thing? First of all, because of his devotion to Christ. When you read through this letter, you realize that this man who is receiving it is a devoted servant of the Lord Jesus. I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus, he writes right at the beginning. He knows that Philemon is a man united by faith to Christ. And that's all important. And that's why, as Paul prays for Philemon, it is with the assurance that Philemon will be obedient. He prays that Philemon will increasingly know the riches that are his in Christ. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. That's where Paul begins. He's going to ask him to do something difficult, but he's saying, Philemon, you're a man who is trusting Christ as Savior, and I'm praying that you'll get to know him more and more, that you'll grow in your knowledge of him, that your faith will be stronger and stronger. And so when Paul makes this request, his confidence is that Philemon will respond by doing the right thing. A confidence that's based not on their friendship, not on Philemon's sense of decency, but a confidence rooted in Philemon's devotion to Christ. It's a difficult thing he's asking him to do. It's going to require forgiveness and love and wisdom and humility. It's certainly not going to be easy to have Onesimus back in the home. It has many problems attached to it. What will the family think? What will the other slaves' reaction be? But Paul still says, I'm confident that you will obey, because you are a man who trusts in Christ, and he is with you. And he will give you grace. And at the beginning of the letter and at the end of the letter, that's the bookends. Those are the bookends. Grace to you from Christ, from God our Father, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The beginning and the end, he points him to the grace of Christ. Paul knew that Philemon was not being asked to do something in his own strength. And that's the encouragement for us this evening. Maybe you are facing an issue which is complicated, and there is a right way of dealing with it. There's something right that you know is the thing to do, God's will. Christ is with you, growing in knowledge of him and deepening in your relationship with him gives the strength to be obedient. Why is Paul confident that he'll obey? Because of his devotion to Christ. But secondly, because of his love for God's people. Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And that love for his brothers was evident in the life of Philemon. We can see several ways in which it shows itself. It was obvious that he was a man who loved his brothers. "I hear about your love for all the saints," Paul writes in verse 5. "I've heard about it. People actually mention it. They refer to it. They're telling us about it." People Philemon met, fellow members of the church, received and experienced his love. In what ways? Well, he refreshed the hearts of the saints. "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Philemon sympathizes, encourages, comes alongside, helps, shares wisdom, gives good advice. He refreshes the hearts of the saints. His love is active. We need that. We need to refresh each other. There's a lot in the world that pulls us down, makes us weary. We need to be refreshed, don't we? Paul says he's encouraged to know that Philemon is refreshing his brethren. That just by being among them, just by sharing fellowship with them, he's refreshing them. Isn't that a great thing? We're not sure exactly what Philemon's position in the church was. Paul simply addresses him as a dear friend and a fellow worker. Certainly he was involved. But whatever his capacity, he is a man looking out for people in church. And he's a blessing to them. So Paul is confident that such a man will do the right thing. His love is practical because he refreshes his brethren. And it's practical also because he prays for his brethren. Paul is very aware of that. He's in prison, but he knows that back in Colossae, the members there, and Philemon, of course, with what appear to be his wife and his son, Apphia and Archippus, are praying for him. His love prompts him to pray. Philemon's love for God's people causes him to pray for them. One of the greatest comforts we can have is to know that. When we face difficult issues, we face trials, we face hardships, whatever it may be, or just coping with the details of everyday life, to know that our brethren are praying for us. Never underestimate it. It's just a little sentence here, but what a wealth is in it. "I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. I know, Philemon, that I'm miles away. I'm lying here in this prison, but you are praying for me. Philemon loves God's people. We see that in the way he refreshes them, in the way he prays for them, but also in the place that the church has in his life. The letter is addressed to Philemon and to the church that meets in your home. That's where people gather. That's where they came. He opened his house. Church is really, really important to him. He's committed to this fellowship of men and women. He loves the church. It is central to his life. This is not something peripheral. This is at the heart of his life. It meets in his house. He delights in being with God's people. Worship, fellowship, church is crucial for him. And so Paul is confident. Then when it comes to helping the church, and specifically receiving this man into the church, Philemon will do what is right. It's a pattern for us. Confident that you will do what is right because of your devotion to Christ, because of your love for God's people. Is our love expressed in these wonderful ways? Do we refresh our brethren? I'm sure you can think of times when that has been a reality for you. I can. Sometimes in God's providence, someone's just come along, they've taken a bit of time, they've stopped to stand and to talk, or they've called for a visit, and you have been refreshed. How good it is. Does our love act like that? Do we pray for one another? Conscious of the circumstances, the needs, the burdens. Do we love the church? Do we love to be among God's people? Do we sing that Psalm 84 as we did this evening with heartfelt meaning? One day in your courts, far better than 1,000 out somewhere else. Finally, why is Paul so confident that Philemon will do the right thing? It is because of his devotion to Christ, because of his love for God's people, but thirdly, because of his understanding of God's grace. This is a wonderful story. A slave in Colossae runs away. He'd been in a Christian house. He'd obviously been aware of church. He turned his back on all of that. But in Rome, the Lord Jesus Christ brought him to salvation. A remarkable story. What explains it? Only one thing: the grace of God. Because Onesimus was always under God's eye, always the object of God's mercy. There's something remarkable and wonderful here. This young man probably thought once he got to Rome, he was anonymous. Nobody knew him. Out of sight, safe, nobody's going to tap him on the shoulder. He's away from every influence that has previously been exerted on his life. He thought he was anonymous. But he is far from anonymous. He is known by the Lord. And in God's appointed time and way, Onesimus was awakened and came to believe the gospel, to trust in Christ as Savior. There's nowhere God's grace cannot reach. There is no one who has run so far from him that his grace cannot touch them and bring them to himself. Can you imagine Philemon hearing this story? he gets this letter and he reads about the conversion of Onesimus. But Onesimus had been a great disappointment to Paul, to Philemon. Onesimus had been a very, very unwilling and obviously unfruitful servant. Formerly, Paul acknowledges, he was useless to you. He was employed as a servant, a slave in your house, but he wasn't doing anything worthwhile. And now Philemon learns that Onesimus has been converted and is totally changed. It magnifies the grace of God. How gracious God is to those who are undeserving. He finds those who aren't looking for him. Grace changed Onesimus. And there is a play, of course, on the meaning of his name, which means useful, but he was useless. But now Paul says he's become useful to me and to you. Totally transformed. His life turned around. A useful man in God's kingdom. He's been serving Christ and serving the gospel and ministering to Paul. And the only explanation for this great transformation is the saving grace of God. So when Philemon heard this request, would he not be affected by this evidence of God's grace? Verse 15, Paul says, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. Isn't that an interesting way of putting it? We might say, perhaps the reason he separated himself from you, but that is not what it says. It says he was separated from you. There was, in what was happening here, even in Onesimus running away, there was, overarching all of it, God's sovereign purpose. God was overruling and was using the unfaithfulness of Onesimus to bring about good. And so Paul is able to say here, you've seen how God in his grace has saved Onesimus. But remember, Philemon, it was the same grace which brought you to salvation in a different way, a much quieter way. Not to mention, verse 19, that you owe me your very self. Clearly it was through Paul's witnessing that Philemon also had come to faith in the Saviour. Like Onesimus, you are a debtor to the grace of God. Both of you, owe everything to him. He brought you in different ways, but it's his grace which has saved you. Think of that. Reflect on that. Consider that. Why is Paul so confident that Philemon will do the right thing? Because of his devotion to Christ, his love for God's people, and his understanding of God's grace. We are constantly to remember God's goodness to us. And that is to bring us, as it brought Philemon, to that place where he will say, to do thy will, I take delight, O thou my God that art. Living godly lives is our calling. Paul here encourages us and shows us the things which should motivate us to that kind of life that will be for the good of his people, for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. May we be people who are also devoted to the Saviour, who love our brothers and who understand God's grace. The same grace which saves a respectable, wealthy man in his home and an unfaithful, runaway slave. Amen.